Greetings to you from Dubai. I'm Ghada Khalifi, and this is The Conscious Achiever, the show that reframes how we think about achievement and invites us to create conscious cultures in business, life, and the world. Timelines are shorter, expectations are higher, and quick wins are attractive in the world of overachievers, fast movers, and doers. And yet, moving too fast has its downsides. So what does it mean to bring attention to your pace as a leader? What impact might slowing down and truly pausing have on your team and their effectiveness? On this episode, our guest Diane Nelson shares lessons she's learned as an overachiever leader and what it means to foster a slowdown mindset in business and organizations. Diane is certified facilitator, CIQ, PQ coach with 30 years of management experience. Her leadership style is to lead from behind, thereby supporting and guiding others to develop their unique leadership style. As CEO of three organizations, Diane became an expert in building diverse teams and developing emerging leaders. She has worked extensively with First Nations people and new Canadians of diverse background and has coached senior leaders and business owners. Thank you for being here. Grab a glass of water and I'll be right back with Diane. Thank you for joining us, Diane. It's really a pleasure to have you with us today and I look forward to our discussion. I'd like to begin by asking you to share your experience working with overachievers and how they lead their team.
Well, let me start by saying I think I work with myself first because I'm at the top of that list of always driving and wanting to achieve. And that's probably why I recognize my fellow leader travelers in that space of people who have so much on their many different levels. They have many, many things on their agenda, the day-to-day stuff. They also have great business / life goals that they're driving for. And those are wonderful things, aren't they? That's a wonderful energy and desire. It's got a lot of, it just sounds like it's the right way to be all around. And yet it's just like any of our strengths. Our strengths also become our weaknesses. And for an achiever who's always striving, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It can be deflating at times. And so the push to do more becomes more urgent if the achievement wasn't quite as impactful or rewarding in the moment. And then, boom. The memory of that accomplishment is instantly replaced by all the things you want to do for the next goal. So, yes, those are people that I seem to attract, people I recognize, and I'm so because of the path that I've been on and how I've worked with myself, man. I really feel for those people and want in every possible way to help them reframe that and to get more joy out of the process and less on the end result, the accomplishment, which doesn't tend to be very lasting. It doesn't tend to be very sticky.
Yeah. When my overachiever or achiever recognize the achiever in you and probably the achievers and people who are listening today. And yes. Yeah, and I love what you said and pinpoint that the achievers have their strength until they overuse it and then it becomes a weakness. So that made me think of how is this amazing skill and strength overused in a team environment when they lead their team? What's that impact on their team?
Yes. Well, a couple of examples come very flooding to my mind. And so let me start out with the why it looks good at first, why it's very, why it was very tempting or the right thing. So the concept of, and I'm thinking of Marcus Buckingham who says this, you know, be really clear with your team and tell them what mountain you're going to what mountain you're going to climb, and that sense of vision and energy around accomplishing that you know, the trek to the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. So that's really important, and not to certainly not to downplay that in any way. It's important for leaders to be really as clear as they possibly can at every stage along the way. Of course, the clarity does shift and change and become, you know, maybe a little bit different as time goes by, but being always putting the clarity around what we're going for, how we're going to do this together, and how we're going to accomplish this, and what success is going to look like when we actually physically, financially arrive. Okay, mm-hmm. So all of that is great. When it starts to tip over to not so good for the team is when the leaders do a variety of things, but one is they keep moving the goalposts. Like, okay, we were going for this hill, but in the process of accomplishing that hill, the leader does a dive elsewhere and goes to a different hill. And then the team behind that person is going, hey, wait, I'm still working on this. And now you want that as well, too. And whoa, it's not maybe easy for me, or maybe I can't accomplish that. And then team members, rather than quickly realigning and following to the new goal, start to question and question the direction, question the capabilities of the team, question their own capabilities of being able to keep up. And then it brings into question, is all of this worth it? Do I ever get a sense of accomplishment? And I'm thinking of a couple of different teams where I've worked with the senior leaders, where the CEO was doing that kind of drive, and the senior leaders had followed this leader up many hills, and really was saying, I just don't think I'm going to do it again. I don't think I've got enough energy anymore. I don't know if it's even worth it, because so many things get left in the wake, you know, things, particularly for people who are more, I don't think strategic is the word I'm looking for, but organized in making sure that the details are handled. And of course, that's what you want on a team, mm-hmm. particularly when the leader is a visionary leader and an achiever. You want people who are dedicated and going to make sure that the details are handled. But for people who are detailed oriented, they never get to finish. They don't get to put the period on the sentence. They don't get to tick the box. They don't get to make sure that the process has been fully detailed so that it could be repeated. They're going off to some new thing, and they're going to have to do all of that work over again with that sense of unfinished business. It's not comfortable. It's not comfortable for team members. And I really don't think it's a financial benefit for the company either. And again, you know, even as I describe that, it's very close to being debated as well. You know, you need to be agile in this business world today. You've got to be, if the goal of yesterday is going to not get us in trouble, for that matter, we need to shift. Yes, you've got to be able to shift and change focus fairly quickly. It's not easy being a leader in these circumstances, because on the one hand, you have to lead change and be always looking for the next improvement, the next accomplishment, the next place where we can really make a difference and impact and achieve bottom line results, and have people who still want to come every day to work on it, to attack it, to make it, to push the needle forward each and every day. It's a tricky balance, but for leaders, that is the work of leadership, is making sure that the people on the team want the same goal and that the blocks are removed as much as possible so that they can work on it. And so often, the hyperachiever, the push, push, push to more type of leader kind of forgets those pieces, the human pieces, the way of connecting with the team to make sure they're ready to go.
Yeah. You mentioned here, Diane, like basically it's about their perception, they're agile, they move really fast, they're agile, and they kind of look for many hills to achieve and claim like their achievement. That's their power. But in that process, there's a lot of negative ramification. We're gonna get into that. Yeah. But I wanna just pause a bit and look at, understand them more, like about what's their perception about this time and productivity and like, and their understanding about pace and the definition of pace. Could you elaborate on that?
I find that in these circumstances, when the leader is feeling urgent or demanding of that next accomplishment, that they and when I say they, I include myself in that group because this is one of experiences that I'm pulling on, is it's all about that beautiful place we're going to be, that accomplishment we're going to be able to feel such pride, such accomplishment, such we will make more money, we will get more done, we will have recognition, all of those things that we all strive for, to one level or another, and that the leader gets kind of full of that, and the business of motivating or influencing people is lost. It just becomes more of an effort or a burden, and in fact, they don't put much attention to it because they're so motivated by the future picture that they imagine everybody else is too. And they can be quite descriptive and be quite compelling. Yeah. And people can sit around the table and nod and smile and be even appear energetic to that leader who's describing where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then walk out of the boardroom going, that's pie in the sky. Or, well, I don't know. I got 50 emails I have to work through before I can get to that big picture. And it just, there's just a big disconnect. You know, it's kind of like going to a motivational seminar. You sit there and the speaker is so eloquent and draws you in and you feel the energy and you feel the excitement of the potential. Then you get in your car and you drive home and you get stuck in a traffic jam. And you go, all that energy kind of goes, and then you get home and you try to explain it to your spouse, what you heard. And say, yeah, I know. You know, we kind of got lost while I was driving home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the comparison between driving home in a car accident and a car jam versus leaving the boardroom and going back to your desk where all the messages and emails await you.
Yeah.
Your purview to do. Yet the ability or the focus that they need to work with is how can they support the team, support, fuel, equip, and travel with. I think that's a thing.
Yeah.
Travel with your team members through the mud, through the stuff that isn't so easy, or through the, okay, great idea, but I don't know how that's going to happen. So they got to be there too.
Yeah.
And it's not as much fun for leaders to be there.
Yeah. I love how, you know, it's so vivid, that image with traveling with rather than traveling alone. Actually, yeah. Sometimes it feels this way, like the hyperachievers, overachievers, they think that they are so alone, but because they forgot to travel with and bring everyone with them. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how things are going to get done. The visionary leader on their own is not going to accomplish. And so they've got to put their heart and their time into people and what works for the people.
Yeah, well, like we're gonna talk about this in more details, but I just wanna, if you can share with us some telltale signs or indicators when they are, when a leader is moving too fast. I know you mentioned a few examples here, but those indicators, like slippery behavior of a leader, that they're going by on their own.
Yes. So I think team members can see it really easily, but how does a team, how does the leader themselves recognize that they're way out in front and nobody's following? And I say this with great connection for a situation that I was in, and I was definitely one of those leaders in a situation where I was driving. And I was sure that I had made very clear our purpose and that I had everybody on board and I was moving ahead. And I turned around one day and nobody was following. And so I've thought about that a lot. For leaders to realize before it got too late, because it got too late for me. And I had broken the trust. They had stopped really trusting me. They were back into the details of things, and there was just this great chasm. And it took us a long time to get it together again. So, how, I think the question for leaders to ask themselves is, what are they doing and thinking? Mm-hmm. That's probably even more powerful than the doing. What are they thinking at the moment that is going to be useful for their team, not just useful for the accomplishment, the goal, what is going to be useful for the team? And if you, there's a phrase that, you know, we often use casually, says, I need to take a step back here. Have you ever said that kind of comment?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that we hear casually, but there was one leader I was working with, as he said that, I said, okay, why don't you actually physically take the step back? Because there's something about that act that puts your body into that motion, triggers to your brain, to your mind, that you need, this is something you need to pause on. There is no shame. In fact, there's only glory in pausing and looking inward, questioning yourself, questioning all manner of things. Is this the right goal? Is this the right day? Is this the right team? Is this the right message? Is this the right set of circumstances? Leaders, the main thing I think for leaders to do is to take a step back, pause, give some space to reflect and physically step back, physically step aside, or you might even say, look at yourself from afar. So get some distance, because at a distance, we can see things about ourselves that we don't see when we're just focused in our own mind and our own to-do list, but to get some distance. So that's what I feel is probably the most important thing. And, you know, we could list, you know, five things that leaders should do, but I think it all, the most important is to get some reflection inside first. And then other things will be revealed. So you don't need a list of five things. You really just need one thing.
Yeah, which made me think of, like, you know, this, the question of, you know, we need to slow down in order to speed up in business. And that's, I think, aligned with what you mentioned right now, that stepping back has a lot of gifts and opportunities. So could you tell us more about the benefits, like more specific about, you mentioned a few things, additional perks for that space?
I'm not sure if this is going to quite answer your question, but it's an image that just popped up. And
okay.
So I'm just going to throw it out there. So that you know, under the umbrella of, you got to slow down to actually go fast. I think of my parents. I used to watch my parents. My dad was methodical, kind of slow moving, and he would kind of, he never looked like he broke a sweat. He was just kind of moving steady. Whereas my mom was really hyperactive, and she was just always moving fast and kind of jerky, and she, you know, her face would get red, and she would just be moving fast. And one time I had this opportunity to just watch them as they were helping me move. They were helping me move into a house. My mom was spinning. I would actually say she was just moving fast and spinning. My dad never broke pace. At the end of the day, it was obvious to me that he did twice as much as she did, and with a whole lot less energy spent. When I think of that image and apply that to leadership or work in a team, is there's this sense of, we got to go. And so we got to go. We got to do now. We can't have any wasted time, wasted thought, wasted conversation. Oh, how many times have I heard leaders say, you know, if people would just do what I tell them to do, we wouldn't need to spend all this time in meetings. And it would, you know, that would always make me shudder when I hear leaders say that. You are going fast over the cliff, and you're going to be alone if you keep that mindset up. You have to actually pause, as I've said, and see what it is each person needs. What are their questions? What are their concerns? What tools do they have or don't have? That's going to be a factor. And if you don't take care of those things early on, you're just going to be doing damage control, or get really frustrated and worn out. And you can imagine the conversation when that leader arrives home or has it with himself, is, oh, I just can't get anybody to move. Well, really, yeah, you haven't helped them do that at all, and you really caused them to slow down. So, and in this case, when I say slow down, they've kind of stopped because they don't have a good way forward. So the leader needs to slow down, get everybody, the phrase of being on the same page, but really understand what it is like from their point of view. I love this word, understand, and I apologize if I'm going off in 300 directions, but the word,
not at all.
Okay. The word understand is like when you think about an umbrella, if you could stand under the umbrella of your teammate and look out from their eyes, what do they see? That is getting under and understanding what their life is like, their work life, what it is that they're experiencing, what tools they have to work with. When you get that, you go, oh, well, you're gonna need this, or you're gonna need that, or oh, that's a question I didn't kind of fully flesh out. That's what leaders need to do, is to get under in that 4 foot, 5 foot space of their team member to see what it's like for them. And it's going to be different for everybody on the team. So that's a bit of time that needs to be invested to get that.
Yeah.
But the payoff down the road is, tenfold.
Yeah. I love all the images that you help me envision here. And I think there's a lot of gifts or key points here for the listeners to see the impact of really slowing down and also the payoff on the long term. And for me, the image, like slowing down to always check in who's coming with me to make sure that everyone is still with me. It's like that check in practice. The slowdown is like to bring everyone on board all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Because things shift and change. So it's not do it once. It's always checking in. And not in a cursory way. Hey, is everybody okay? Yeah, not those kinds of questions, but
yeah. Hey,
and what else? And what else do you need today? And what else can I help you with today? And what else could I explain better? You know, always the more open-ended questions.
Yeah. Which made me think of, like, really now, how can those leaders foster a slowdown mentality or mindset? And what are the key skills in building this mindset? Because the first thing, as you were speaking and said, like coaching mindset, like they have to cultivate that asking question, checking in. What are other skills that they need to really cultivate?
The risk of being simplistic, but I just think sometimes if we start with the simple, it might be more sticky for people. And so my suggestion is that the starting point, and it will be obvious what the end point is observing. So first and foremost, leaders need to observe themselves. And by going inside and checking on what their thoughts and emotions are, naming that and deciding if that's the right thought or emotion for the situation. Then you move out a level to observing the body language, your body, what message are you conveying that you might not have been aware of unless you looked at it, unless you observed. And then the third part of that is then you make sure that you're intentional about the words you use. Words create worlds. And if the inside thoughts are negative and frustrated, even if you think you can cover that up, it's going to come out one way or another through body language or through your words. So the process is first observe yourself inside and then language, body, and words. Then the next level of observing, so if we put this all under the caption of observe, then you observe your team members. What is the impact of your message, body language and words, on others? What kind of reaction are you getting, both body language and words? And then check to see that what you said really is the impact that you intended. How are people responding to what you've said? Are they responding in the way that you that suggests that they get what you're saying? Mm-hmm. Are they getting it fully? And what is their opinion about that? So all of that, ensuring that your message is being received in the way that can make you work together, that the work will happen well together. So just to put it under one capsule, it's observe inside to out, observe others, and then confirm that the message is just true.
Aligned. Yeah.
Aligned. Yeah. Fully connected.
Yeah.
With intent.
So I hear those skills of really active listening and communication and really empathy in that checking in that everybody's on board or everyone is aligned. It's like, and tuning into their energy, it shows like we're really tuning into the energy of the team, the people around you.
And that might be a phrase that is foreign to some leaders. It certainly would have been to me a few years back. But it's really true what you say, Gada, that you are tuning in to the energy. And in order to be able to tune into somebody's energy, you have to be quiet. You have to be calm yourself. You have to kind of slow down your own energy,
mm-hmm.
which is generated by thought and emotion, so that you can receive and recognize somebody else's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To listen first, to check in within yourself in order to hear others. Absolutely.
Yes. You're putting out a lot of energy, which blocks then any kind of understanding or receiving what somebody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a very important key in being a leader first, you know, and being someone in that position. And it's not easy, and it's a practice, and it requires intention and work to have this mentality of cultivating the self-leadership, really.
Mm-hmm. You know, the concept of easy, I suppose, you know, nothing is easy at first. You know, it's funny. I was just reading this example about how when an infant is learning to walk, they will, you know, try to get up on their feet or on their knees and try to hold on, and they will do that 100 times a day. They just keep trying. So you can imagine all of the muscles and the thought that's required for an infant to be able to stand and walk. There is so much that goes into that, but they just keep doing it day after day after day, until as soon as they do it, then it's just easy, right?
Yeah.
If we as leaders just keep doing it, you know, it does get easy. So easy that you forget that you're even doing it. It's the initial part where you mean I have to stop and pay attention to my thoughts and emotions, and then pay attention to my body language, then choose my words, then watch the person I'm speaking to, what their body language, what their words are, and then check in with what they're doing or how they're understanding the message, and we get some dialogue. Whoa, that's a lot, right?
That's a lot, but, yeah.
And yet, you do it a few times, and boom, you're just doing it all the time. Mm. And you're not only doing it with your team members, you're doing it with your spouse. You're doing it with your teenage kids. You're doing it with your family. You're doing it with people that you sit on a volunteer board with. You're just doing it all the time, and it becomes just like breathing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Diane, for highlighting this point and mention, like, really reframing what is not easy and what is easy. Also made me think of, why do I want to do it in the first place? That keeps me practice without keep me practicing and showing up. So it's more connected, like, what is really important here for me to keep trying, to keep building that muscle.
Well, yes, I guess people need to check in with what's important. And again, we can ask this on different levels. When you think about, what do I need to accomplish today so that I can end the day with a sense of peace of mind? What is the most important thing that I do today so that when I'm finished the day and I go home to family, I can say, okay, I've done that. Yes, there's 5 or 6 other things on my list I didn't get done, but I got the important thing done. And you can translate that question into the week, the month, the quarter. And I strongly recommend to ask the question of, at the end of my life, what would I have said about this situation, with this team today as being the important thing? And if you, again, pause and ask yourself that question, what is really important? The answer comes to you, and then you don't have to try anymore. You just do, because the important thing is there. It's right in front of you. And nobody's going to tell you what the important thing is. You know, you've figured out on the inside of you, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I love all these questions. I love that. I'm looking at the time, and I realized that we agreed to do like the 30 minutes, but the discussion is very rich and juicy. And I think I still have questions, but I want to respect the time here and bring our conversation almost to an end. But before I do that, I'd like our listeners to know where they can find you on, you know, website and social media.
Well, first, let me say, I so enjoyed doing this. You're such an enthusiastic listener and interviewer. And as we've had conversations in the past, we are aligned, I think, in so many ways.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
My website is The Nelson Team, www.thenelsonteam.com. I'm on LinkedIn as Diane Nelson. I have a program that I have called Positive Mindset Plus Leadership Skill Set Retooling Program. It is designed for leaders, people who lead other people. And that's a pretty broad category, but leaders, both aspiring developing or new leaders. So that's kind of the chunk of work that I do. And these are concepts that we talk about all the time in the program. So website and LinkedIn, that's where you find me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I'll have the links, and I'd love also to have the links for the program for the leaders who want to lead other leaders. Absolutely. Yes. I'll share the link as well. But before I let you, like before we sign off, there's the podcast question, signature question of what does conscious achiever mean to you?
Oh, simple question. Okay. Conscious leadership. Well, isn't that what we've been talking about all through this, is pause to check in, to be conscious, to observe inside first, and to observe what's important today, what's important for the life. And I have to admit, I've spent a lot of years rather unconscious. And I don't ever want to go back there. I want always to be conscious going forward. It just makes every moment, every day meaningful and useful. I'm better for myself, and I'm certainly better for others when I'm conscious.
Absolutely. Thank you. Diane, I mean, I don't know, I enjoyed every single minute of this conversation. I feel like it's the end of my day, but suddenly I feel very awake, you know, very energized having this conversation with you. Thank you for bringing forward your thoughts, your experience, and your resources. Thank you so much.
A great deal of fun, and thank you, Gata, very much.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, tell your friends, pay it forward, or leave us a review. You can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram, where you can follow me or leave a comment. You can also subscribe to my newsletter on LinkedIn for more from The Conscious Achiever. Thanks for listening. This is Ghada Khalifi signing off.